Welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that transformed them. Because we here at This Song HQ believe that the right song at the right time can change a person's life. And those are the songs we want to hear about. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we've gone country. By which I mean, of course, that Josh Ritter and John Carter Cash, the artists featured on this episode, were both inspired by folks coming out of the American country music tradition. And both Josh and John had these experiences where they'd known about this amazing music for a while, but it wasn't until they really dove into the music that they found themselves transformed. First up, Josh Ritter. He's an American singer and songwriter who released his latest record, Sermon on the Rocks, last October. It's a compelling record and quite raucous at times, and he came into KUTX in January and played a solo set of songs from the record, plus an old song of his, plus Engine Engine No. 9, which is a song by Roger Miller. And I was honestly surprised by that choice. I mean, you just don't hear a lot of people playing Roger Miller these days. Though, when we spoke afterwards for the podcast, I totally understood his choice. So here he is, Josh Ritter.
In terms of songs that I feel like were transformative in my life, of course, there's so many. You know, as a songwriter, I feel like you have, I fall in love with songs in a couple of different ways. When I hear a song I love, I feel immediately, a real sense of joy because there's a discovery there. Secondly, I feel intense jealousy because I don't know why I didn't write that, you know.
Has it always been that way, like since you were,
And it's not a malicious form. I feel lucky that it's not. I'm not a jealous person, but I do see that there's like, I remember when I was young and thought I'd be a basketball star, which was not in the cards, not yet, when I watched basketball, I would go outside before the game was anywhere close to done to play basketball. And something about like watching someone do what they love and do what they're good at makes you want to do the same thing, you know?
Right. It's like seeing a good show or hearing a good song makes you want to go home and
do something,
write that song or play a show.
And for me, like, I remember when at the end of my last record, we had moved up to Woodstock, New York, and we're living in a really ancient old house with not a lot going on around. And we had a new baby. And one morning, she woke up early, and I was searching around for something to do. She likes music, and I thought, well, I've heard King of the Road by Roger Miller. I wonder what else he's done.
Trailer for sale or rent, rooms to let 50 cents, no phone, no pool, no pets, ain't got no cigarettes.
And so I got some records and instantly was not just amazed but humbled by so many things that he has done. Like, and there was, first of all, there was there was this devil may care about everything he did, and this that there was no chances that weren't worth taking.
Overcharge for excess baggage, know your concourse, know your gate. Up this way, sir, not that way, sir. Airplane departs, gate 6-8. Please, sir, may I see your ticket, fasten seatbelts. You can't smoke, beverage, anything you'd care for. Sorry, but we're out of coke.
My uncle used to love me, but she died. A chicken ain't chicken till it's licking good fried. Keep on the sunny side. My uncle used to love me, but she died.
The studio production is really weird and eerie, and his persona is like a sad kind of mockingbird, where there's always a touch of sorrow and humor in his voice, like a real twinkle in his eye, which isn't something you can just learn to do. It's just something that's there.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, make you wanna holler, holly-ho, burns your tummy, don't you know? Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug, 4-H and a FFA.
He sang this song called Hitchhiker, and it was a slow song with this really weird all-girl chorus in the background, and just the tom playing. It's Hitch. I could hitch.
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 I could hitch.
Hitch.
I could, like the restless tiger, you can't stand still.
And it was so cool and so catchy. I just knew he was going to be my mentor for the next couple of years at least. And it hasn't stopped. I still listen to him and want to sit down and make my own writing better. So he's transformative.
So up to that point, you'd pretty much just heard Roger Miller, King of the Road. Like that was kind of like what your Roger Miller experience was until then.
Yeah, I think that's what many people like my generation and like we didn't grow up with Roger Miller and had to find him. And man, like he just reminds me, and he taught me on this record, which I needed after my last record, which is about divorce. He reminded me that life is short and you better have fun writing your songs. And songs can be fun, and that's just all they have to be. It's like entertain people because it's art. That's what people. It's supposed to make people happy.
I say hi there, highline, hello, highway. Here come a big old semi my way. I stick up my thumb, hear the truck come, but the truck goes by and it look like he's flying and whoops a big legs on my Levi's. I've been a fool.
And I've always thought, like, with Roger Miller, the craziest thing about him is that he was working in a genre that, especially at the time, was, like, so, you know, a lot of that of country music at that time was, like, so inside the lines, like, so very kind of straight down the middle, like, as far as what people were talking about and what they were saying and how they were saying it.
Yeah.
And, like, that he, I mean, they're really, like, you listen to his songs and there is crazy... The topics are as crazy as anything you would hear today. Or like, why would anyone even think to write a song like, you know, Chug-a-lug. Don't roller skate in a buffalo or something, you know?
Got that line from Don't Roller Skate in the Buffalo where he says, you can't change film with a kid on your back. And you know it's true. And like, but you don't know why it ended up in a song, but it's so good. It's
Until you have a kid, which you do now. And all of a sudden you're like, I understand what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You can't change film with a kid on your back. Can't change film with the kid on your back. Can't change film with the kid on your back. But you can be happy if you've mind to. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car.
Do you think that maybe having a kid made you ready to hear Roger Miller? I mean,
maybe there's this thing about him that he has. His songs are not like they, you know. While I consider them be on equal par with anybody who, like, you know, any of these great songwriters we talk about that are on Uncut magazine covers and stuff. He never was like that, but his songs were like these beautiful marbles that roll around in your head. And they just roll around, and they never get diffuse. There's deep philosophy in them, but only in the delivery, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, and I can just think about his music forever. And like, and I think maybe that's why when my daughter was born and my hands were full, like, and I couldn't write that much, he taught me how to write in my head because I just listened to his music, even in my mind, you know.
Would your songs start to like? Roll around your own songs start to kind of roll around like marbles in your head till you had a moment to write them down.
Yeah, I always thought of them you get this phrase that's like this uncut stone, and after 8 hours, 12 hours with your hands full, you can write it down, and it's just become much weirder and much more fun. And I don't know if that was his experience, but it's, you know, it doesn't. His writing never comes across as workmanlike. It always comes across as like an overflowing of something.
And if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say. God didn't make little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss or Disneyland, and Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme.
So it sounds like he freed you up in a way in writing for this new record. Like, just kind of, like, there are no rules, and just have fun, and like, just... Do the thing.
Don't judge it before it's done, and don't judge it mostly, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that, you know, even, you know, one of those great people that like that really taught us that, you know, like David Bowie did the same thing. Like, don't, you know, you're here to like, you're here as an astronaut. You're here to go as an artist. Your job is to go to a place that other people haven't gone to, and to bring back some like picture of that place. And sometimes it's a Roger Miller song, and, you know, and that's, you know, he's been somewhere really great to get that thing.
So the new record, I mean, when you talk about like really like going to a place and going there, it's almost like with this new record, you created like a place. Like, I don't know if in your mind it works that way, but like in my mind, it's like you created like a town.
Yeah. It was like, in my mind as a town almost.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the great things about, you know, when you don't take 10 years between records, if you write it in a year and a half, you know, if a record comes out every so often, I find that one of the unintended consequences of that is that the material has much more cohesion with itself. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like a book of poems that reference each other. You know,
yeah.
And I like that so much. I did that on the Animal Years, but just by chance, and I think that's really cool. They do start to turn into characters in a little town with a little geography.
Yeah, I mean, I could really see it.
Like, thanks.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
And I just love that maybe Roger Miller was the beginning of kind of getting to that, you know, how we get to places is all kinds of weird ways. But it sounds like for you, like trying to distract your daughter early in the morning and like randomly putting on Roger Miller.
Yeah. There's a song called Cumberland on my record, which was all about, you know, I heard a Roger Miller and I wanted to write a song that would make him proud.
All of my friends say, what's out in Cumberland? Gonna get lonesome when you get out to Cumberland. Stay in the city, boy. Winter is a wonderland. They all mean well. I will remember them. Oh, boy, gotta get yourself back to the country now. Country now. Oh, boy, gotta get yourself back to the country now. Wander through the holler, honey. Wander through the glen.
And below me, you can hear Cumberland from Josh Ritter's Sermon on the Rocks. And yeah, I hear the nod to Roger Miller. And how delightful did it sound, that process that Josh went through of discovering the iceberg of Roger Miller's work under the tip that was King of the Road. He got to dive into the whole catalog and swim around in all the goodness and the weirdness, and that led him to create new work. And for me, one of the best things about that story is he really had no idea what would happen when he started exploring what Roger Miller had to offer. He just needed something to listen to while passing the time when his daughter was up early in the morning. Inspiration. It can strike at any time. I'm going to take a quick break and ask that if you like listening to stories like the one you just heard, then please head on over to iTunes and become a This Song subscriber. That way you can get new episodes delivered right to you, like next week's where we talk to Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo and Sabrina Ellis and Andrew Cashin of Sweet Spirit and A Giant Dog. And while you're there, we'd love a rating or a review. It helps us both with iTunes ratings, and seriously, a good review makes everyone at Team This Song feel all warm and fuzzy, and it lets us know in this digital age full of noise that people are actually listening. All right, back to the show. Our next artist is American singer-songwriter and producer John Carter Cash. Do his last names ring any bells for you? Of course they do. He's the son of June Carter and Johnny Cash, which I can't even. I mean, I grew up a musician in a family where there were no other musicians, like at all. The idea that you could be born into a family where your parents and one of your grandparents were like these seminal forces in American music. His grandmother was Mother Maybelle Carter, who played guitar and sang in the Carter family. I mean, that just sounds so incredible. He's produced a ton of records and released music under his own name. And he recently produced an album for Loretta Lynn. How cool is that? It was just released and it's called Full Circle. And she actually sings some Carter family tunes on the record. We spoke by phone right before the release. And he told me that actually it wasn't until later in life that he was able to see the beauty of the music that he was born into. So here he is, John Carter Cash.
growing up, I was surrounded by traditional music. I was surrounded by the Carter family's music. Being the grandchild of Mother Mabel Carter, when I was very young, watching her on stage, I was inspired by her. But it's hard growing up sort of not to take for granted the things, even the things of beauty and majesty that we're surrounded by sometimes.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all our way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
And, or I've found that. But only later on did I truly see the genius that was within the Carter family music. You know, I was in my late 20s before I really, really got into the music.
Really?
Before I really did. I listened to it, I sang it, but before I really studied it, I was in my late 20s when I looked and realized there's a wealth of work here. I began to study Maybelle's guitar playing, specifically on the song Wildwood Flower. It's hard to put a finger on one song, but specifically that one has influenced me, probably in my life and my path, even greater than my father's songs
have. Oh, I'll twine with my mangles and waving black hair, where the rose is so red and the lily is so fair, and the myrtle's bright with the emerald.
Your grandmother did have this amazing guitar style where she would play the bass line and the melody at the same time, and she had did she have a particular technique where she used like just a couple of fingers, or am I getting that wrong?
Yeah, Maybelle played with a thumb pick and a finger pick. She had two picks on her right hand, and the thumb pick she would use to play the bass strings and would play the melody with the thumb pick, and her index finger was the only finger with another pick. And it was sort of almost, if you watch her, she's almost like got a claw shape to her right hand. And her index finger is playing the rhythm on the high strings while the melody is being played with her thumb. People can make it sound like that, but no one quite plays exactly like Maybelle Carter did. Her style was unique.
Was it something that she came up with herself? I mean, did she have formal instruction, or was it something that she just kind of out of necessity developed?
I really don't know if she had formal guitar lessons, but I don't think she did. And somebody out there may know the answer to that, but she developed her style out of necessity because she was the instrumentalist in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Carter and Ippi Carter would play rhythm, if they played, and Maybelle found the need to play the rhythm and the lead at the same time, and so out of necessity she developed that style.
Wow.
And so many have followed that.
Yeah.
Earl Scruggs developed his banjo style listening to Maybelle Carter play the guitar. We know bluegrass because Earl and Lester Flatt and Bill Monroe, listened to the Carter Family records when they were young.
I'm interested to know, so you grew up kind of listening, not rebelling against the music of your family, but listening to different music. So you were listening to rock and roll.
Yeah, I grew up listening to rock and roll playing rock and roll. I appreciated it. I did, but I didn't have the love in my heart for it until later on, until I was, almost 30 years old.
And what was it that got you interested in kind of returning to that music or going deeper into the music of your grandmother? Did something change, or was it just something where you heard it one day and you finally really heard it?
it was like falling in love, and it was like being around a dear friend for a long time and then suddenly looking into their eyes and going, wait, I'm in love. You know, I mean, it was sort of that, you know. And I don't know how else to akin it to anything, but it was when I discovered the music of the Carter Family, it was like I found a new great love in my life.
Single girl, single girl, she's going just fine. Oh, she's going just fine. Married girl, she wears just any kind. Oh, she wears just any kind.
The genius and beauty of her style. I fell in love with music once again, you know, because I grew up listening to rock and roll. But, you know, it is true beauty, the Carter Family's music. And it inspired me, you know, did an album, a tribute album to the Carter Family, where artists sang different Carter Family songs. It's called The Unbroken Circle.
Mm-hmm.
Down that path, of course, I recorded, before The Unbroken Circle, I recorded my mother's albums, Wildwood Flower and Press On. This connected me deeper into the Carter Family's music. When I first worked with Loretta Lynn in the studio, the first song that she recorded with me was, ironically, Wild with Flower.
Wild one with my mingles and waving black hair, with the roses so red and the lilies so fair, and the myrtle so bright with the emerald dew, the pale and the leader, and eyes look like blue.
And it was a tribute album to my mother and to the memory of my mother. And having her in the studio recording that was so meaningful to me. Because, for one thing, Loretta Lynn, when she began to work with me in the studio, had never recorded Appalachian music.
Really?
Yeah, she'd never, even though she is a child of the mountains, we all know she's from Butcher Holler and has the history, she grew up singing honky-tonk. I mean, you know, her first albums were just die-hard country.
Well, I'm at home a-working and a-slaving this way. You're out a-misbehaving, spending all of your pay on wine, women, and song.
And there was... She did not sing Appalachian music, although she says that that is the music she grew up with and she first remembers.
Right.
Hearing this is the Carter Family. She remembers her mother having a Victrola and playing Wildwood Flower, and Loretta says she remembers looking in that Victrola and wondering how those musicians got down in there. You know, looking in the horn of the Victrola.
I will dance, I will sing, and my love shall be gay. I will charm every heart, in his crown I will sway. When I woke from dreaming, my idols was clay. A portion of love had all flown away.
So that was an amazing connection. And if I look at music, specifically if I were to sing one song, It would be Wildwood Flower that has truly influenced my path in music, that has brought me in to a greater desire to understand guitar techniques and styles. I hear the Carter Family music within everything from modern country to rock and roll, everyone from Keith Richards. Jerry Garcia listed Maybelle Carter as a major influence. And of course, Loretta Lynn, who I've had the opportunity to work with on this album coming out now called Full Circle, she likewise was influenced by the Carter Family.
And so on this new record that you're doing with Loretta Lynn, are you guys doing some Appalachian music? Are you?
Yes. And the album was full circle. And yes, Loretta went back and recorded these Appalachian songs that she grew up loving. And it just happens to be that she honestly loved the Carter Family music. And so there's a couple of Carter Family songs on Full Circle just because that is where her heart is. And we saw no restrictions. And these songs meant a lot to Loretta her entire life, but she never recorded it until now.
Blackjack David come riding through the woods and he sings so loud and gaily. Made the hills around him ring and he charmed the hearts of the lady. Charmed the hearts of the lady. How old are you, my pretty little miss? How old are you, my honey? She answered him with a silly little grin. I'll be 16 next Sunday. Be 16 next Sunday.
And below me, you can hear Loretta Lynn singing Black Jack David from Full Circle. And just so you know, this new record does have Carter Family songs, but they're not just Carter Family songs. There are a lot of straight-up country songs. She does the first song she ever wrote. It's called Whispering Sea. She sings a duet with Willie Nelson, and she even does Fist City again. Really, this record paints a full picture of Loretta Lynn's life. And she sounds amazing. May we all sound that good at 82. And wasn't it lovely to hear John Carter Cash compare falling in love with the Carter Family's music to realizing that you're in love with someone that you've known for a really long time? It makes sense. I mean, it's hard not to take for granted the things in our lives that have been there since we were born. Sometimes we have to grow up before we can finally see how beautiful they really are. I'll post a link to the trailer for Loretta Lynn's new record. And if you're coming to Austin for South by Southwest, she'll be playing an official South by Southwest showcase at Stubbs on Thursday, March 17th. You could see the master at work. And I'll post a link to Josh Ritter's Studio 1A performance, as well as to the View House video of him performing Getting Ready to Get Down on the This Song page of the KUTX website. And that's it. We've come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The Josh Ritter interview was recorded by Cliff Hargrove, and the John Carter Cash interview was recorded by David Alvarez. Antoinette Masando is our social media guru. And thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help on the podcast. And that music that you're listening to, that's our theme song. It's Mahout by Austin's own hardproof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. We're at thissongkutx. Follow us on Facebook. Hey, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. And like I said, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.